Hello, we are the Shy Guys, and you're listening to Connecting the Host, your co-op and multiplayer gaming podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Shift Happens. It's a cooperative platformer for two players. You and a friend play as Bismo and Plom, two lovable jelly creatures who got merged due to a comical yet dramatic accident. You can shift your mass, throw each other, and puzzle your way through four stages of stylized imaginary worlds.
I'd like to point out that lovable is subjective.
Shift Happens was made by Klonk Games in Germany, and you can pick it up on Windows, Xbox, or PS4 for around 15 euros, so I guess that's about 12 quid. But we're playing it on our gaming PCs, and we're playing it using the online co-op instead of local. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about the game, Ben?
Sure. So it's a two-player puzzle platformer. All the way through our run-through of it, I just kept saying, Portal. It's Portal. It feels like Portal. It's Portal. It has a Portal feeling to it. Very cartoony graphics. Humorous overtones, depending on your sense of humour. It's one of those things that you'll either like it or you won't really, in a sense. It's very much like the Portal 2 multiplayer with those two robots that are lovable robots just trying to get through the labs. And it's like, are they lovable or are they fucking irritating? Well, it depends on your point of view and how much sleep you had the night before, in my case. So the sort of novel aspect of this is that after a brief tutorial, you can push your trigger buttons to switch from little to large mode. So you have a small size and a large size, and you switch between them. Later on, this causes the other character to switch as well. So if I press my button to enlarge myself, it'll make John shrink down. So you alternate, and both of you have that control. And there are situations where you can kill each other by accident.
Which we did quite a lot early on.
Yeah. I mean, there are bits like John might be holding up a box, and then I go, oh, yeah, I just need to get large and I'll jump over there. And I do it without him saying no. And then he shrinks, box falls down, smushes him. And then I steal all of his coins. And much hilarity ensues. So that whole little and large piece about it impacts a huge amount, not only the character height, but also physics as well. So you have that Portal-esque style of velocity, real-world physics, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the basic mechanics of the game, it's a platformer, so you are mainly going to be jumping, pushing and pulling blocks, standing on pressure pads, doing all the kind of things you expect, if I was to say, a Portal puzzler, but without portals.
And in 2D,
in 2D. Yeah, absolutely. Later on, I mean, there's sort of like abilities that you get throughout. Like, it wasn't unlocked immediately, but a little bit into the game, like a few, maybe about 5-6 levels in, I guess.
You have
the ability to catch objects and throw them. And they always do them in like a really nice way where it almost gives you like a secondary level. It's like three little tutorials that you go through, and it's like, here is an example of a thing to do, be it picking up a block and throwing it, or getting it to hit a switch, and it'll make you do that a few times, and then you go back to the real levels and off you go through. So one of the things that there was, which was quite interesting, is the ability for the bigger character, whichever one of you it may be, can throw and catch the smaller one, which leads to interesting puzzles because you can throw them and then change size while you're flying through the air, which will affect your velocity and arcing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it starts off fairly basically like both press on the plates at the same time to open the door, or you need both of you to push a block to a certain area and one goes, or the level will split into two parts where one of you goes up and there's like a, you know, you're going to alternate between the two of you, which one's small, which one's big, because the level's like gap-toothy. But later on, it becomes much more advanced, and you start having to deal with weights and velocities, doing things like jumping off a high ledge onto like a seesaw type mechanic below where the other one pops up, and then they need to transform to get enough weight to come back down and then push the other one up. And getting that triggering right is difficult because you kind of have to agree between you which one's going to do it. And it's, even if I say, John, you press the button when it's your turn, I would still do it because I'm a control freak and I've just kept thinking it was a single player game that he was watching. So it does become tricky because of that element of it.
Yeah, and I guess it's interesting because your mass just changes immediately, which is the point of it. So it's like if you're in that seesaw scenario, you want to go up when you're small because then you get to a higher peak and then you want to turn big so that you go down with more velocity.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting the way that you have to think a bit weirdly about the physics because it's like an instant change in mass without a change in velocity to reflect that change in mass.
So. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, obviously, the name Shift Happens, they must have come up with that pun and went, yes, like that. But it doesn't really explain anything about the game from that. Like, Portal is a game about portals. It's like, it's pretty clear what it's going to be about. Half-Life 2, bad example. Who knows? But this, I mean, the fact that it's called Shift, you are shifting height, I guess. But it sounds more like it's going to be a game about driving, especially in America where you have shift stick or whatever. So it doesn't really describe it very well, I think. But it's a random aside.
Cool. I'm going to just say a bit more about the game. We usually talk about the multiplayer specific bits, but there's nothing super specific about multiplayer because it's a co-op game. But you can play it online or locally, and we didn't have any problems getting going online. We can just, one of us, fire it up, invite the other one on the title screen, and you go straight into the game. And like you say, you play through the tutorials together too, so that was no kind of, oh, I need to play through the first bit on my own, which was nice, just pick up and play. Theoretically, you can play the game in single player, but you have to switch between the characters. It's really designed for co-op. I don't think that would be a fun experience.
Which is weird, because you think they could do like a Brothers Tale of Two Sons style analog stick for each. But then I guess the jumping would be difficult and the other abilities maybe. Yeah, okay.
But it's really, I mean, maybe it's fine in single player. We haven't tried it. But I mean, it's a co-op game. It's a co-op podcast, so we don't care. Just worth mentioning. So, I mean, it says in the description that the game consists of four stages, but I mean, each stage is basically a world, which is broken down into approximately 10 levels. So there's actually about 40 levels broken down across four different zones. And the primary objective on each stage is basically just to get through it. I mean, you can get through the game by simply getting through the levels and getting out the other end. However, you get a star rating depending on how many stars you pick up in the level. And I think how many lives you lose along the way.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think you couldn't get 3 stars unless you did it without dying. Either of you dying. But then, as long as you get enough of the... I can't exactly remember because there are a few different ways it accredited you, right? Like there was 1 star which was reserved for just doing a speed run. There was another in each level. There is a special pickup where there's kind of an orb that you one of you touches and then it's suspended between the both of you and you have to move it to a certain part of the level. So that means one of you may be standing on top of an elevator while the other one is ducking under a ledge somewhere and then you've moved this kind of orb.
It's kind of fun, the orb moving thing. Reminded me a lot of Forced.
Yeah, first game we reviewed on Connecting to Host.
Episode number one.
But that was really nice. And it's completely optional, but it just gives you something a bit more challenging to do if you're, you know, you want to get all the stars. You always want all the stars, right? So it just gives you a little extra challenge. And there was also typically a secret area in each stage too. So if you found that, then you got all the stars required to get the 3 stars at the end of the level. So... And it keeps track of which player collects the most stars at the end of the level, so you can see that on the between stages, who's kind of hoovering up the most stars, but it doesn't make a difference. But it's kind of nice.
A fun competitive thing, though, both jumping for the same thing sometimes. I did like very much the secret areas. They were kind of in that Rayman style, like the more recent Rayman games. It didn't quite go as far as to go, ooh, when you find it, but I added that effect. Myself.
Yes, you did. And it was lovely. Thank you, Ben. But you have to find that secret area if you want to get all the stars and then get the best rating on the level. So, cool. I mean, that's it, really. I don't think there's that much more to say. It's a little 2D side-scrolling platformer. So let's move on to our likes and dislikes. What did you like about the game, Ben?
First off, the only thing I could think about with this game was the music, which is a very funky Toe Jam and Earl style beat to it. It's got a proper bump, 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 that kind of funky beat that I enjoy. I love
it. One of the first things you said. That was one of the first things you said. Like, ooh, Toe Jam and Earl.
I think I was in the mindset of it because it was a co-op game. And
yeah,
I always hearken back to that. I think that was probably the first co-op game I really played was Toe Jam and Earl. Sonic 2 does not count because Tails was completely useless.
Oh, yeah.
But Toe Jam and Earl was a great game. We're going off-piste here, but the music is great. And I enjoyed the funkiness of it very much.
Nice. Cool. So my main like was just the core game mechanics, really, which is a fairly big and open topic. But the mechanics are interesting, and they introduce them at a good pace. And equally, the puzzles ramp up in difficulty nicely. It's not too many stages in that you have to start thinking. There's always the fear in this sort of game that the first 20 levels are going to be so easy it's not worth playing. But that's not the case. They're satisfying, even when they're reasonably easy, because you feel like you're clever. Like, ooh. Yeah. We had to both shift and then do a quick jump. Nice. And then as you get through them, you get that little clever feeling quite a lot. So you think, yeah, it wasn't.
Especially trying to get all of the stars.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't give up either. Like it wasn't like we'd see and go, no idea how to get that onwards. It's like, nope, we'll crack this. We will work out how to do this. And that was, for me, the most satisfying part of the game was when we were stumped a little bit on how to get like some power up. And then we finally were like, maybe we'll try this, maybe we'll try that. No, that doesn't work. And then phone go, ah, I know, I've got it. And then you'd go, no, you haven't, I've got it. It's like, oh, okay.
But it wouldn't be enough to get you stuck in the game, which is nice. No. Like, it was challenging. But really, if you absolutely couldn't get that extra star, you can obviously just skip it and come back later. So I like that in a game. I like challenging puzzles, but not enough that you just get stuck and you can't carry on because that's boring, right? So they got that. They got that done. Done proper good, they did.
you slipped into your GMing orc voice there for that. That was a wonderful
thing. Got to slip it in now and then.
Okay. So my final like, just that it is a very simple, laid back and entertaining game. The thing I liked a lot about it is that you just pick it up, play it, but also the fact that within 5 minutes of playing it, we both said pretty much at the same time, yep, this is exactly what I thought it would be. From the screenshots and from the description, and now playing it, I'm not surprised at what this game is or how it performs. It is exactly as expected, and that is a good thing.
And it very much had that kind of, it was in the same feeling as Snipperclips, right?
Very much.
Laid back puzzle solving on the couch. Snipperclips. So.
Yeah. So I think it's great. I think it would work well both in local co-op. I mean, we had a few online co-op issues, which I'm sure we'll come to shortly. But I think it would work great in local co-op if you're just sat on a sofa together. Yeah. But equally, it worked fine long distance as well. In terms of the puzzle solving, it doesn't add any difficulty. I don't think it's got anything like voice chat or anything built in like that, or the ability to connect with randoms or anything along those lines, does it? It's very much someone via Steam and then use Steam chat type thing. Or the same on Xbox or PlayStation with the Retrositor things. But good game. Enjoyable, laid back puzzler. It's exactly as it sounds.
Yeah, I think it's the sort of thing where, because my wife's not a massive gamer, we play the odd thing together like Mario Kart and things. I think it's the sort of thing where you can play this with a light gamer, someone who likes a bit of gaming but nothing.
You
can
play this with a significant other who doesn't usually want to play games with you.
Yeah, I think that's a nice selling point.
Yeah,
it's a nice selling point when you find that. So
yeah, that's great.
Cool. I'll kick off the dislikes, just extending what you said a little bit earlier with the online elements of the co-op. It wasn't enough to be a huge, it didn't damage our experience massively, but I guess in the first hour that we played it, we had two scenarios where the game went out of sync, i.e. the first time we were seeing different things. You were like, I've pushed the button, why haven't you left a level, John? And I'm like, I have left a level. But you're not. You're just standing by the exit, but you haven't done all the tasks yet. So, and then we realized, aha, we're seeing different things. And then we had to, we restarted.
We were literally like
level.
Sending screenshots to each other. Because I'm like, I've done it. The buttons are lit, John. You're blind. It's like, oh, okay.
And then we restarted it and it happened again. And then we restarted it and figured out, actually, if you did the jump in a different way, it worked fine. And then we also had another scenario where, and I guess this was due to the networking, maybe just the physics, but one of the blocks ended up kind of phasing through a gap which closed. There was like a barrier coming down and a block got through which probably shouldn't have got through, and then we couldn't complete the puzzle because it was on the wrong side of the barrier. Yeah. I think it shouldn't have been able to happen on the host, but maybe some networking or just the physics went glitchy, and it meant that we figured out, that block's actually meant to be on the other side. It shouldn't have got here. I guess we have to restart the level.
In many ways, I hope that it was actually just some subterfuge on the part of the game developers in order to make us solve a puzzle with some lateral thinking, which is really what the game is about. So maybe it is all planned.
Yeah. You have to restart the level now. But yeah, I mean, it was not perfect on the online, but it wasn't enough to destroy the experience, but enough to be a dislike.
Something to be wary of. And in a similar vein, especially with the block glitching, I mean, I found that some of the controls were a little bit janky. Picking up boxes or picking up your friend is fiddly. When you threw stuff, you weren't quite sure if it was going to go where you thought it was. And there's a few bits with timing where you need to be very quick at doing stuff, and it was just a little bit tricky to do it. So they weren't bad controls. It's not like the control scheme is flawed from, you know, entirety. It's just that there are a few bits where it's like you need to do something carefully, and it's just a little bit not quite right. Hard to put your finger on exactly what's wrong, but it's just like, I'm sure I pressed the button at the right time, but I was just outside the hitbox, whatever it might be. So,
yeah,
not perfect. Just a small note as well. There was no ultra wide support. I mean, I generally don't expect it in indie games of this nature.
Yeah.
But it is a game that could have used it. It's not like something like Limbo or Inside, where there's stuff that is perfectly framed so that when you get to an area, stuff happens. It could have, I'm guessing, with my game developer hat on, that a few innie settings and it could run on ultra wide and be fine, but it doesn't. So if that's a deal breaker for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad for us, was it?
No, I mean, it's so used to it, most games anyway, especially with indie games. It's like, I'm always pleasantly surprised when it does work.
I just want to finish off with a quick comment, but I think, I'm pretty sure if you were to play this with someone that you met online, like, hey, in a forum, let's play it with a random person, you would need some sort of voice chat to play this in co-op. I don't think you could find a random online on Steam or on a forum and just play with them and not have voice chat, because first of all, they could screw you over by killing you quite often, which would be really frustrating. And secondly, you really do need to coordinate the puzzles. Like, I'm going to jump to the top, then I'm going to shift. Okay. Yes. Click. Do it. Without that communication, you would be in a world of pain. World of pain.
Yeah. So. Agreed. The only comment I had is that something we didn't mention, but you can customize the characters to a certain degree, because there are a load of different hats that you can wear, including not just hats, but like entire like masks of like YouTubers and stuff. It's a bit strange, actually. and some of them have not been photoshopped well. But my first thought when I saw it was, why aren't these unlocking as a reward for completing each level? Just seemed more logical to me and would add a sense of reward and progress, because, I mean, you shouldn't need a sense of reward and progress. This is why there's a comment. We shouldn't need to be, you know, drip-fed some endorphins in the sense of a prize being produced on a silver platter every time we do something. But I like to unlock stuff, so that would have been nice.
Yeah. And actually, I think if they had unlocked them throughout the game, you probably would have shifted them around. Changed them around a bit more frequently, because you just pick it at the start and then you just use it forever, right?
But if they unlocked it every game. I don't remember.
Surely.
There were trade. Were there Steam trading cards? I think there were, but.
Yeah.
I just don't really remember unlocking anything or feeling that sense of achievement, accomplishment of like, you know, doing something weird, like, oh, you threw someone into some water. Ha-ha,
I've got a feeling that it does have achievements. Like, I think when we completed a certain number of levels, we got one. But it does have achievements. I just had a very quick look. So there are achievements. But. Cool. So we always end up each episode by saying whether we'd play it again and whether we'd recommend it. So would you like to start us off, Ben?
Yeah. Well, we didn't finish it. So would I play it again? It's always a difficult question for us because we have a huge backlog of games to play and lots to review and stream and all that other kind of stuff. So with my In a Perfect World hat on, yes, I would play it again because I'd like to finish it and that'd be great. But in real world, that ain't going to happen because we'll move on to the next thing, which isn't to detract from it. Would I recommend it? It's an easy yes. I'd recommend it if you are the sort of person that likes a 2D portally platform puzzler and you've got a friend who wants to play it, or a significant other who will put up with playing it, then yes.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm totally on the same page. I hope we get a chance to play it again at some point when we end up with some magical pool of infinite time. But maybe when
you get sacked.
Yeah. But maybe when you're visiting Sweden, we might, you know, play it for an hour, sort of thing. We could just play when we've had a few beers. Yep. But also, I definitely recommend it. I mean, I preferred this to Snipperclips. I felt it was a more well-rounded experience, had more content to it, and just a bit more. Snipperclips was a bit more repetitive. This felt pretty fresh as you're working through it. So yes, definitely recommend it. If you like puzzle platformers, highly recommended. There's not really anything like it in a co-op way, I guess. Like you say, Portal 2, but that's a very different 3D... You know, getting a big environment. This is a 2D platformer game with puzzles in it. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend it. So, cool. Well, thanks for listening. You can check out some more episodes of the podcast at connectingtohost.co.uk. In some previous shows, we did Skyforce Reloaded, A Way Out, Sea of Thieves, We Were Here Too, loads of other great stuff. Also check out shyguys.io for some reviews, a weekly bumper edition of news in very short form, so you can get a catch up of the weekly news. And we also have been doing a lot of Twitch streaming recently. So go to twitch.tv/Arendo_ or shyguys.the_dod to check out either of our Twitch channels and see what we're playing. Give us a follow if you want to be updated, but we always stream Rocket League on a Wednesday evening and quite often other games on Friday and Saturday evenings. Also pop along to Twitter at CTHcast. Drop us a note if you have a game you want us to play. And as always, please, please, please leave us an iTunes review if you like the show. So thanks ever so much for listening. Have a great couple of weeks.